enthroned on the praises of your people. Lord, we agree in unity.
Proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the Christ Jesus the King pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins and according with the scripture, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Our scripture for the morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Our present weakness and the resurrection life. Again, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And it says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but is what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. Our opening prayer is, Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill your Holy Spirit to everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick, comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen. God bless. Have a wonderful day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Irma. You know we appreciate you, and you have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
May our God bless us with grace, mercy, and peace. And may we always find more room around God's feet, where there is complete rest from the cares of this world. For every woman, man, boy, and girl, I pray we are blessed with God's grace, mercy, and peace.
Christ Ministries, I pray that for you every single day of the week, that God's grace and favor go with you everywhere that you go, and that you be protected from the evil one. Amen. You know, becoming a Christian is not just getting saved, but becoming a Christian is the change that begins to happen. It's a progressive change. It's not all of a sudden, all at once, but it's a beginning. You know, I heard old folks say, I'm not who I'm supposed to be, but I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. I used to hang out with these girls. They were called the Star Sisters. They were singers at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. And they were the first ones, amen, that I ever heard sing this song. And it meant so much to me because I knew what I was when the Lord found me, and I knew what he was turning me into. I knew I wasn't there yet, okay, but I knew Jesus was working on me. And guess what he was doing? He was bringing about change. Hallelujah. Amen. Like Michelle Anderson say, Minister Michelle Anderson, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Change. Change is what happens when you come near to God and he comes near to you. So, brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to be saved. No, we ain't going to hell. But it's even better when we start becoming who Jesus Christ said in Philippians 1:6, I'm working on you. When we start becoming and recognize the work Jesus is doing on us, then we know that we're saved. Why? Because change is happening. Amen. If change is not happening, you might need to go back to the pool, take another dip, amen, or something. Amen. Give another confession or something, because change ought to be happening. There ought to be some evidence that you are not the same. The people around you ought to go around saying, you know, they ain't the same no more. You know, change begins to happen the moment we say yes to Jesus. Yes, Lord, I will study your Bible at home. Yes, Lord, I will attend Bible class. Yes, Lord, I will attend worship service. That's when change begins to happen. If you're not doing those things, that's probably why you're not changing. Why you saved, but still the same. Amen. It is time, and there comes a time when every Christian has to say, yes, Lord. Will you say yes to Jesus today? Yes, I'll accept you as Lord and Savior. Yes, I'll do the work you called me to do. Yes.
Hallelujah. Today we want to sing a chorus. And it's a chorus of surrender to the Lord. We want to say yes to Jesus. We want to give our all to him. We want to totally surrender to him so that he can take control of our lives and so that his will can be done in our lives. That's his will for each and every one of us. So we want to sing that song to him today, and we want you to lift your hands as we worship the Lord with this song. And we're going to sing yes to our God.
Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this room right now. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are great, and you are mighty, and you are real, and you are pure, and you are holy. We love you today, Jesus, and we're so thankful, God, that we could lift our praises up to you. We're so thankful, God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, because you are worthy, Heavenly Father. For we truly adore you today. We love you. We magnify you. You are everything, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time.
Yes. Say yes, Lord. Say, and then say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Time for a little known black history fact. African American history. We make history every day. A native Detroiter and poet, Albert Michael Ward. A poem. And it goes like this. If Grand River were a river, there are no waterfalls on Dexter, but when it rains, the street shimmers like glass. The boulevard becomes a rainforest. Blue and transparent, the sky over Dexter is bright in summer. The sun washes the savannas and sidewalks in golden hues. In a barbershop on Dexter, I learned to play checkers. At Parkman Library, my bicycle was stolen. Had my African warriors been with me, we would have drummed on our shields, walked through the tall grass, and found my bicycle. If Grand River were a river, I would walk along its banks from village to village. If Grand River were a river, children would dance at water's edge, dances of freedom. Grandmothers would say, carry these groceries, boy. One day you'll make fine young men. We'd walk Dexter sometimes to Elmhurst or Fullerton or across Davidson to Clement and Pasadena. Had lots of friends on Ewald Circle and Kendall. The grandmothers would tell stories and give us lots of 50 cents. I remember that summer of 67. 43 people died, they said. A civil disturbance. Businesses burnt on 12th Street. Houses in penguin tanks. Chewed up the alley behind the garage of my aunt's suite looters. Looters running through her backyard. Terror. Smoke and ashes. Not to be denied. If Grand River were a river, trees would grow rich and lush, like baobab. Their roots thick. If Grand River were a river, I would be free. Woodward and the Boulevard Marketplace, where villagers and neighbors come to trade, to greet. I see watercolors of silk and broadcloth. Women with their bundles walking the elders with their sticks. Mount Kilimanjaro is greater than the Fisher Building with snow like crystal, silver at its crest. The sun sleeps there when the moon is round and full, east or west of Woodward. I am home. If Grand River were a river, elephants could drink from it and I will wash my clothes among its stones. If Grand River were a river. And that is our little known Black history fact poet. Amen?
Many times in life we focus on all that we don't have, and it makes us worry. But today I want to remind you of the one that you do have, and let you know that he's still able.
I've been hurt and abused, even lied to by the ones I trust in most. I've had some nights I cried more than I prayed. That's when God said to me, I am still.
It changed my perspective, and so
now the worry is over,
yes.
And the doubt is gone away. God reminded me,
he reminded me
that he's still able. God reminded me
that in spite of it all,
that he's still able.
Thank you, Lord. Question.
I'm afraid to carry this hurt all alone.
Today more than ever.
I need your help, Lord. With you I can't move on. Now the worry is over and the doubt is gone away.
You're not alone. About to give up.
God reminded me.
He reminded me
that he's still able.
But it's not easy because
sometimes it seems,
oh God,
there's no way out.
You're surrounded by problems.
So many problems.
They weigh you down.
You down.
But he cares for you.
You've got to know,
my sister. Remember that.
God is able.
He's able.
Able.
He hasn't changed.
He's still able. Able.
Seems like problems are waiting in line just for you.
God is able.
He's able.
Able.
You say, I've never faced anything like this before.
He's still able.
Your favor, because when you tried it your way and it hasn't gotten better, remember God is still in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your struggle. It's good to know that in the hospital, in the courthouse, even in your house.
Believe
you can't give up. The story
was at my lowest point, God.
Remind me.
Can make it because
God reminded me
that he's still able.
Wow. In spite of it all, God is still able. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am happy for another opportunity to serve. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Lord, most mighty, most powerful, and most high, we come before you lifting up your glorious name. You are the Alpha and Omega and the creator of all things. We stand in awe of your magnificent power and majesty, and we know that you are worthy of all praise. We are humbled by the thought of your greatness and mercy and grace. Thank you for the gift of this new day, for your healing power, for your protection and your guidance. Thank you for every kindness and for this moment to come boldly to your throne to make new requests, even though we have already received so much. We remember all that you have already done for us, and we sing praises to your name. We thank you for your faithfulness, even when we have fallen short of your glory every day. We confess our sins to you, Lord, and thank you for your forgiveness. We also forgive those who have wronged us, releasing any bitterness or resentment because we know this pleases you. Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that we are each called to a purpose. We are more than conquerors. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bind every plan to derail or hinder our destinies. We put our loved ones on the altar and lift them up to you, Lord. Bless them and protect them and guide them in your ways. Let your favor shine on them. And we ask that they experience your love and grace in abundant measure. We pray that you keep them safe from the enemy's schemes, and we ask that you let your peace reign in their hearts. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We ask that you cover us all in the blood of Jesus. Dear Father, we ask for divine protection over our lives and our loved ones. We ask that you guard us from the snares of the enemy and surround us with your angels and your hedge of protection. We stand against all attacks, be they of the mind, the body, or the spirit. We rebuke any spirit of fear, anxiety, or discouragement, and we claim peace, joy, and courage in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you extend your healing touch to every area of our lives. We ask that you heal our bodies of any sickness and restore our souls. We also ask for emotional and spiritual healing. We declare that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We ask that you mend the broken areas of our lives and marriages and fill us with your peace and comfort. We believe in your power to heal and restore, and we receive your healing in all things. We ask that you bless and keep, comfort, and deliver all the grieving and bereaved. Lord, as we say this prayer, we come in agreement knowing that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are in our midst. Bless us and guide us and use us for your glory. Lord, we ask that you open doors of blessing and favor that no man can shut. We say yes to your ways and your plans for our lives. We stand together claiming victory over our lives and that we are more than conquerors in your hands, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Better mind than evil.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we are reminded. Thank you. How this power in prayer. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deaconess Johnson, for praying and making our request known to God. You know we appreciate you, and just have a beautiful day. Okay? Amen. We are having such a beautiful service and a beautiful service this morning with more to come. I want to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. So following this selection, the next verse you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. Okay? Let's prepare to receive Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson come in her own way with introductions. Amen?
Until they know who stock ain't changed. And the numbers they be getting, something still ain't hitting them. America ain't Christian, they just practicing the ritual. That's why we should be missional. No, like what you think I'm sitting for? United States is dying and the East is looking pitiful. Some places, if they catch you, they'll arrest you and they'll serve you. But they still need the word. The gospel should be heard. We claim we ain't ashamed, but yet we still ain't hit the block. We in our Christian bubble while our brothers get locked.
Wow, send me, I'll go. Good morning, church. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalms 118, verse 26. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. In this big yet little church where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are, in this church that is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints, the church where the pastor knows our names, another spiritual breakfast has been prepared for the nourishment of our inner man. Let's listen with ears to hear and get the meat of this word, hot, crispy bacon that will open the eyes of our minds. And if you want to go back for seconds, the message will be available later today on rfcm.org. Today's message is titled Ambassadors for Christ. The text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. So turn or click in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, and it reads as follows. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Prepare to receive Gerald Marshall Overall with a word from the Lord about being ambassadors for Christ. So, church, I would say repeat after me, but nobody's going to repeat. I guess so. Repeat after me. Pastor, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca. Appreciate you. Tell Ed I say hey.
I will.
Amen. That's my guy. He is real cool. There's this one Christian rap that I listen to. This guy's name is Brian Trejo, 35, Brian Trejo. And he got a song called Welcome to the Church. Amen. And there's one guy at the end. He's the last one on the tune that does his piece. And he reminds me so much of Ed. Amen. Every time I hear that, I think about him, see him rapping. Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in. Thank God for everybody who's gone before me, for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, who found out this morning that we'd be on Blog Talk Radio. But amen, got it all together. We want to thank Mother Irma Miller for the proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And, of course, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson for jumping in and taking care of altar call for us. Amen. Just want to let you know, those who might not know, Deacon Charles Tate worked hard yesterday to try to prevent what's happening today, but there was a hole in one of the pipes that go to the boiler, and he did his best to make it where we could have church today, but the temperatures just wasn't working, and so it's cold in the church, so we shifted over here to Blog Talk Radio. Thank God for the ability to be able to shift just like that. I love it how the Lord goes before us and always has the way made. He said it's a lamp. His word is a lamp and a light. Amen. So that we can see where we're going and don't trip and stumble on our way. Amen. Praise God for his goodness toward us. But we thank God that folks found out because, amen, the switchboard is loaded. There's a lot of people here, so let's go ahead and get started. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Heavenly Father, you know this message of reconciliation makes me super emotional and I get to crying and bawling all the time. So, Lord, I'm going to need you to help me control my emotions that you gave me and get through this message without crying through the whole message. Hold me so that the people get what you gave me. So they hear what you told me. In Jesus' name, I pray. You said what I hear in the ear, proclaim on the housetops. Help me do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I am here today to be transformed, to change the way I think, so it is according to your word, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I always say this, but right there, that's enough. We can just go ahead, open the door to the church, take up the offering, and go home. Amen. But we ain't in the church. Now, I know the deacons probably jumped up and grabbed the basket in their house somewhere and said, okay, let's go. Amen. But we ain't in church. But every time I hear that, that's enough right there. Amen. But God has more. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about ambassadors for Christ. You know, we've been in 2 Corinthians for a while. We went all the way through 1 Corinthians, and now we're in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 1, we preached this. We said, God is the God of all comfort. Amen. All praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it said over there in 1:3-1? And he said, who comforts us in all our troubles. So that we, now here's the good part, here's the part that we need to get, so that we can comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort that we're comforted with. That's how Paul started out this second book of Corinthians, talking to the Corinthians. Amen. It wasn't easy living in Corinth, saved or unsaved. And so Paul wants to encourage them. In chapter 2, we talked about forgiveness for the offender. You cannot be an unforgiving Christian unless you want God to not forgive you for your sins. Matthew 18:35 says, unless you forgive men, and that's talking about men and women, from your heart, guess what? Neither will your heavenly Father forgive you when you sin against him. Amen? I am not going to let some human being prevent me from receiving God's forgiveness. I am not going to, as Crystal taught us yesterday about, Deaconess Crystal Crump taught us about 1 John 1:9, I am not going to let you take my 1 John 1:9 because I want to be mad at you. Please, I'm on 1 John 1:9, and then I'm going to jump over to Romans and encourage myself. Why? Because the Lord says, don't take vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. So I'm not going, there will always, I don't care what you do to me, I'm going to forgive you. Right? And if you're hungry, I'm going to feed you. Amen? If you're thirsty, I'm going to give you something to drink. And that's going to do what? Heap coals of fire on your head. In other words, it's going to make you, hopefully, prayerfully, feel some kind of remorse. Amen. In chapter 3, we talked about the old covenant versus the new covenant. You know, Jesus once said, once people get used to the old, they don't like the new. They say, we'll stick with the old. But the old, as we read in chapter 3, was like when Moses came down off of the mountain talking with the Lord. He was glowing. And so they had to put a veil over his face because it was kind of scaring the people. Amen. But what Moses and them really didn't want them to see is that the glow, amen, was disappearing. It was fading away. And that was a metaphor for God saying that the law is going to fade away. I know there's some black Israelites that probably don't like me saying that. They love the law, and somehow they think they can keep God's law perfectly and please him. I'll take Jesus. Okay, so the law was fading away. Why? God never intended for us to have it forever. It was a babysitter. Babysitters don't stay forever. If they do, something wrong. Amen. Babysitters come and go. And the law was a babysitter. Go, when you get a chance, go read Romans chapter 3, start at verse 19, read to the end. The law was a babysitter. It was given to show that we are sinners. Now, Jesus was given to show the new covenant is Jesus, right? It's his blood, right, that was shed for us on Calvary. That's the new way we're made right with God, right? Amen. So we want the new way. Since the old is fading away, we want the new way. Why? Because the new way is permanent. It's not fading away. The new way can make you right with God. You can try your best to keep all 613 laws that God gave them. It ain't going to work for you. And guess what? He didn't give them to you. He gave them to them. Romans 3:19 says, obviously the law was given to those to whom it was given. I wasn't born. I wasn't with Moses and them out there in that wilderness, so it wasn't given to me. I was born in the age of grace under the new covenant. Amen? Amen. So chapter 3 told us, out with the old, in with the new. Then chapter 4 told us, look, this thing could get rough. This thing could get tough. Satan don't like us in his world. God has hidden this treasure. What treasure? The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. He has hidden this treasure in these vessels. So we don't set our sights on this temporal world. We set our sights where Jesus is. See, our goal is to get where he is. Jesus, Revelation chapter 4 tells us, is seated at the right hand of the Father. And in Revelation chapter 4, we get there. We're the 24 elders surrounding God's throne. So we keep our eye on that prize, getting there. That way, all that we go through here, see, Jesus was able to go through all he went through here because he knew he wasn't staying here. He knew, he said, I came to die and to be raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So he knew he wasn't staying here. He came to leave. But while he was here, he provided salvation for us. So Jesus looked forward even from Thursday when he got arrested, Friday when they tried to beat the life out of him, He looked forward to Sunday when he was getting up out of that grave. He said, Father, take this cup from me. Father said, no. He said, well, okay, Father, you're not going to take the cup from me. Then strengthen me for the journey. And guess what happens? Angels came and attended him. Strengthen him for what he had to go through. And y'all, you saw the passion. It takes some strength from angels to get through that. Amen. But Jesus had it. Amen. And so chapter 4 tells us, even though we're struggling down here on earth, even though we're going through this, that, and the other, keep your eye on the prize. Heaven is the prize. We had Deaconess Rebecca Johnson to go over to Philippians chapter 3 and read verse 20 and 21, and guess what they said? They said, we are, wow, we are right now, citizens of heaven, and we look for our Savior to come from there, who by the power that enables him will bring everything under his control, and he will give us glorious bodies like his. My wife and I were watching the book of Luke the other day, and when we got to the part where Jesus, amen, had risen from the grave, I looked at my wife and I said, see what Jesus is doing in that glorified body? Guess what? He given us one just like that. When Jesus wanted to talk to the men on the road to Emmaus, guess what? He just popped up. When Jesus got through talking to the men on the road to Emmaus, guess what? He just disappeared. When Jesus wanted to go and show himself to his disciples, oh, Thomas wasn't in the room, of course, guess what? Jesus didn't knock on the door. Jesus didn't open the door. He was in the room. Those are just some glimpses of what it's going to be like to have a glorious body. See, the Lord know I got a big problem with time and space. I hate it. I got a big problem with it. Okay? Because I know that after we leave here and we get that glorified body, guess what? No more time and space. So I keep my mind fixed on that. And that helps me to get past all the stuff, the wiles of the devil, the schemes. You heard Deaconess Rebecca pray about, help us to defeat the schemes of the devil. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that we're not ignorant of his devices or his schemes, his ways of thwarting or trying to thwart the work of God. And then when we left chapter 4, we talked about the ultimate subject. I love it the way I'm looking at the NIV version, but in the King James version it says, when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved. Amen. You know what that means, right? Your spirit done left your body, and your body can't live without you. So it starts dissolving. It's on its way back to what God made it out of. From dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And the body, as soon as you get up out of there, it starts going back to dust. They told Jesus when he went to the tomb of Lazarus, he'd been in there 4 days, Lord, it's loud in there. Jesus said, roll away the stone, which you can do, amen, and I'll call him out. And Jesus called him out of there as if he had never, ever been in decay. His body was in decay. Y'all know what that means? He smelled like old greens and chicken skin left in the garbage for a month. And you pull the top of the can off. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. You need Jesus to get past that smell. That's what they said Lazarus was. But Jesus didn't care. He said, Lazarus. And he had to call Lazarus by name because everybody did would have came out. If Jesus would have said, come out, all of them dead folks would have came out. Y'all remember when Jesus got up from the dead? 500 people got up with him and went into the city and was seen by over 500 people. That's what Paul said in AD 55 when he was writing Corinthians. Amen. Amen. So the Lord says when this old body give out, and y'all know how it is, this old tower, this old body just keep on what, leaning. Every time you wake up, something ain't working. Amen. Or it was working, and then later on, yesterday I went through something, and I didn't know what to do. I had to really call on Jesus because I was in the bathroom getting ready to take me a shower, and my legs went out. They just went out. And went straight into a pain like I've never felt before. This just happened yesterday. I called on the Lord asking him, what is this? Amen. And he healed me. And I got into the shower and took my shower and got out, and I haven't felt it again. But, amen, these bodies, I got up off the couch, got prepared to take my shower, and then the body fell apart, just like that. Amen. So we look forward to the body that Jesus is talking about. And again, that what gives us hope. God is trying to make sure that we do not become discouraged no matter what happens. See, they were discouraged when Lazarus died, but Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe God? Amen. So God wants us to believe him. That's why he tells us these things, because he knows what we're up in this life. What did Jesus say? You're going to have what? A happy days every day. No, he didn't. He said you're going to have trials and tribulations every day. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I overcame all that. And you are more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus, who died and got up from the grave for you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You get a chance, you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and see the person who wrote that was Paul. Go to Corinthians chapter 11, and you'll see what all things is. Amen? In fact, you might not go, I don't trust you. Amen? I trust you. I do, but I'm just going to read it anyway. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start at verse 21. Paul has gotten into it with these people who are trying to tell the Corinthians that you shouldn't listen to Paul. He's crapped out. You should listen to us. We're cool like that. Okay, we're better than him. So you should cut him off and take us. So Paul is into a debate with them, an argument, if you will. And so Paul says, to my shame, I admit that we are too weak for that. Ever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking like a fool, because see, Paul is not a boaster. His boast is in Christ alone. But he's into it with these people for the sake of the Corinthians, right? Not for the sake of winning an argument like these clowns on YouTube who debate all the time, debate this person, debate that person, okay, when the Lord told us not to do that, but you're doing it on purpose. That just shows how big a clown you are. Listen to what Paul says. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? And I'm out of my mind to talk like this. He's just reminding them, I don't do this. I don't boast. I don't brag. But I got a point here. I want to help these Corinthians to know that these people are trying to deceive them. I am more, and I have worked much harder. Listen to what Paul says. When you read that passage and you try to grab, talking about, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. Well, here's some all things, right? Paul says, I've worked much harder. So you're going to work hard. Paul said, I've been in prison more frequently. You could get locked up. Paul says, I've been flogged more severely and then been exposed to death once? No, again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Y'all read that in his first missionary journey. They left that boy for dead. These three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. How many of y'all have been out in the open sea serving Jesus for a day and a night just floating around in that water, not knowing if you're going to drown or if Jesus is going to save you? I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And watch this. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for the churches. Amen. Who is weak? And I don't feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. Amen. Paul went through it. So next time we try to claim a verse in the Bible, amen, let's remember when he, those are the all things that you could end up going through serving God in this world. Amen. So Paul says, as we preached last week, we walk by faith and not by sight, because we see things that don't look right. We see ourselves sitting in a Philippian jail, but we walk by faith. We walk by what God said and not by what we see or what we think. Amen? Because Paul says again, he's getting ready to appear before Jesus. Are you getting ready to prepare? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? If you died right now and had to stand before Jesus and give an account of the things you've done in this body, whether they were good or bad, are you ready for that? I prepare for that every single day of my life. I don't waste days. I don't do that. Why? Because I could die right now. Just because I'm preaching don't mean I can't just up and have a massive heart attack and die and stand before Jesus. Am I ready to give an account to him for the things I've done in this body, whether good or bad? Amen. Now, we come to the sermon for today, and I'm not going to be long with this because we've heard this a million times. Amen. Jesus said it in Matthew 28, right? Amen. He says, therefore, told him that all power in heaven and earth, because he rose from the dead, did everything God said, has been given to him. He says, since I got all power in heaven and in earth, therefore go. See, power in heaven and earth means when Jesus was here down here on earth, he said, the devil is coming and has nothing in me. And that means the devil actually could put Jesus on the cross. He could have him beat crazy like he was on that Thursday and Friday. He could have hair pulled out his face like they did, spit all over him. Amen? He knew that. But see, Jesus is risen from the dead now. Okay? And now what he had to give up to come here and live like us, see, a son was given, but a child was born. So Jesus came here just like we come here. He was a baby. He had parents. He got fed because he couldn't feed himself. He got his diapers changed because he couldn't change them himself. He was raised because he couldn't raise himself. Amen? And Jesus grew up just like we did. Amen? And so he had to give up his God prerogatives. Amen? So he could go through life like we are. If Jesus didn't go through life like us, he could not say, I was tempted in every point like you, and without sin, though. We mess up a lot, but Jesus never messed up. But he went through this life like us. Well, guess what? If you go to Revelations and read about Jesus, you ain't gonna. The only place they talk about a lamb is in chapter 5. Okay? And that's in regards to letting John know that Jesus, because he was slaughtered like a lamb, okay, made a sacrifice like a lamb, is now risen from the grave. And he is now called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when Jesus comes back, he ain't coming back as no lamb. When he comes back to rapture the church, that's one thing. He ain't coming to the earth. He's just going to snatch us up off the earth and people who are in graves out of the graves. Those people aren't there. Their bodies are present with the Lord because they're absent from the body. Amen. But when Jesus comes back after the seven-year tribulation period, he is not coming back. You ought to go read about it over there in chapter 19 and 20, and you're going to see Jesus ain't the lamb. He's the lion, and he ain't taking no shorts, none. Amen? Now, since Jesus is risen from the dead and ascended back into heaven, guess what he has done? Over in the book of Acts, in verse 8, it says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're going to need that power before you go out to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you read the book of Acts, which records the birth, growth, and expansion of the Christian church, you'll see why they needed that power. Amen? Because the devil was not happy that Jesus has left here, but I was fighting this one Jesus. Now I got 3,000 Jesuses running around here. When Peter preached that first sermon, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000. So whereas the devil was fighting Jesus and his 12 disciples, now he's got 3,000. And by the time you get to the book of Acts, they're up to 5,000, 6,000. And they're spreading all over the world. The Bible says everywhere that the persecution drove them out of Jerusalem to, they took the word of God with them. Ethiopian took the word of God back to Africa. The word was going everywhere. The devil couldn't even keep up. Amen. Now, let me say this, brothers and sisters. I've been a witness for Jesus since the day he came and found me on my way to sell some dope down there on Sally at Nicourse. He found me one day after my mother and father had led me to Christ. I was later filled with the Holy Spirit. I never did go to a church and sit there and say, I think I believe in Jesus. No, I was saved on the street. Jesus came and filled me with the Holy Spirit on the street. I didn't go to a church until 1976. I got saved in 75. I preached in the streets just like Peter did. When Peter was born again, the first thing he did was preach. That's the first thing I did. The people who was waiting on me on the corner, when I got back to that corner, I didn't tell them, here's your stuff. I told them what Jesus had done for me. I was like Paul. Everybody knew what I was like because everybody knew what I did. I was the dope man. Everybody knew I had girlfriends. They used to call me Sweet G's, and I had kids, but I was a deadbeat dumb dad on purpose. And everybody knew that. I even told the Lord when he told me that I was a child of the Most High God, who I did not know then was El Elyon, and he told me I was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't know that either. I thought I was a drug dealer. Amen. But when he told me to go to the corner and tell them that. And I told the Lord, they're not going to listen to me. They know who I am. You're going to need to send me out of town somewhere where people don't know me. They are not going to accept my witness. They know me. And he said, go to the corner, tell them people, you are the son of the Most High God and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what I did. And guess what? I've been doing that ever since. Amen. If you're not being a witness for Jesus, if you're not telling other people about Jesus, all you do is run around telling people Jesus is going to give you money, Jesus is going to give you a car, Jesus is going to heal your body. You're missing the point. The point is Jesus needs that person to be saved. He has made us, amen, ambassadors for him. You know what an ambassador is. I live here in America. I'm an ambassador to Canada. Now, Canada is a foreign land, but God wants me to go there, establish an embassy. And in that little place, that embassy, that is America in Canada. That little place where the embassy is, you can run there and find sanctuary. Amen. We are Christ's ambassadors. We live in heaven, and what we serve in this world as foreigners. We're not, amen, conformed to it. We're not a part of it. We don't live here. We live in heaven. Our citizenship, as Philippians chapter 3 says, we are citizens of heaven. And the Lord God has commissioned us to be his ambassadors here to represent him on this foreign soil, to represent him on his behalf. Our job because God is, as the scripture says, is reconciling the world back to himself, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. I never let a week go by without telling somebody why Jesus saved me. I never let a week go by without telling somebody Jesus saves. I won't get to heaven and wonder how many people have I led to Christ. I will know that every day I made an effort to lead somebody to Christ. Amen. You know, as ambassadors for Christ, we have to look at people the way God looks at them. Paul says in verse 16, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We see everybody as somebody that Jesus died for. Everybody. Not just black people, not just white people, not just Chinese people, not just Latin people, but everybody, everybody you look at, 3:16 says God so loved them that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in his only begotten son shall have eternal life. They won't perish. How many people have you told about Jesus this week? How many people have you told about a restaurant this week? How many people have you told about that thing, that movie, that place this week? But you ain't told nobody about Jesus. But you love the Lord, and he heard your cry, but you don't tell nobody. How many people on your job even know you're a Christian? How many people on your job are unsaved? How many saved? Or are you just looking for breakthroughs and blessings? Do you belong to one of them churches where they teach you to practice retarded Christianity? You know why I call it retarded? Because it's backwards. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you ain't got to worry about no breakthrough. He said these things will be added to you as well. The things you need, you're going to get, okay? And other things will be added to you as well. Food, clothes, water, plus the stuff we want and stuff we desire. I don't know how we can go through 1 week after another week, 1 week after another week, a month, a year, ain't told nobody about Jesus, and we're ambassadors for Christ. We don't tell our kids about Jesus. We don't even take our kids to Sunday school no more. We don't even care if they go to hell. All we care about is they get good grades in school and go to college and get a good job and make good money and get out my house, get out my pocket. But you don't even care if they know Jesus. You say you care if your kids know Jesus, then why you don't take them to Sunday school? Why you don't go to Sunday school? Why you don't go to Bible class? How you going to become a witness for Jesus and you don't know nothing? How you going to teach somebody who's in Christ? You don't know nothing. All you know is, I need Jesus to bless my job. I need Jesus to fix this. I need Jesus to fix that. Well, Jesus needs you to tell somebody he died, was buried according to the scriptures, and was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's what Jesus needs you to tell somebody. Jesus needs you to do like Paul. Everywhere you go and they give you an audience, a chance to speak, start talking about how Jesus brought you in. Paul said, I was on my road to Damascus. I hated Christians. I thought I was doing the will of God. And I was going to get some more Christians. I had messed them all up in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Now I'm on my way to foreign cities to persecute them. And on his way there, he ran straight into Jesus. Paul told that story over and over and over and over. And you know what he did? By foot, by horse and buggy and ship, he evangelized the whole known Roman world by himself. And we can't even evangelize our own house. Jesus says, study to show yourself approved unto God. You don't even study. How many times, how many sermons have you heard in church and you actually went home to see if what the pastor said was true? How many Bible classes have you sat in and you went home to see if what the teacher taught was correct? Or do you just go to church so God, you know, you remind me of this movie I saw. There was this man, his name was Brooklyn or something, and he just sit in the back seat, and he would tell the people in the front seat, do something to make me feel better. I think people come to church and do the same thing. Pastor, preach something to make me feel better. Teachers, teach something to make me feel better. But you're an ambassador for Christ. And Christ wants you to look at everybody in the world as if they need to be saved. As we're ministers. He has made us ministers of reconciliation. God has given us the privilege, the honor, to be able to tell people about Jesus and bring them to him. Only Jesus can save them. But, you know, I used to live on a ranch over in Canada, a horse ranch, and we used to lead the horses to water. Now, we couldn't make them drink, but we could lead them to the water. Jesus is the water. Have you led anybody to the water? Or are you just talking with your brothers and sisters in Christ about what Jesus had done for you? You know, I think it was John Kennedy who said, ask not what can God do for you, but rather ask what you can do for God. Of course, he was talking about your country, but I'm talking about God. When I wake up in the morning, you know, ad nauseum, I post on Facebook. I don't use Facebook to be showing people what I just ate. I don't use Facebook to make people believe I'm living a fabulous life because I done took a picture of me in Mackinac somewhere. I use Facebook to reach out for Jesus. I use Twitter to reach out for, or X. I use that to reach out for Jesus. I use LinkedIn to reach out for Jesus. I use Instagram to reach out for Jesus. Not to show you a picture of what I'm doing. Ain't none of your business, no way. And they ain't going to do nothing for you, no way. I reach out to anybody and everybody. Why? Because like I told you, I'm a new creation, created in Christ Jesus for righteousness. I am not the person that he found. I may not be who I am going to be when Jesus gets through working on me when I hit heaven. Amen. But I am definitely not who I was, and anybody who knows me will tell you, sweet Jesus ain't the same. Ever since he met that Jesus, all he do is talk about, do you know Jesus? Can I help you to understand Jesus better? Or can I help you? Do you need some help? Because, you know, Jesus said over in Galatians 6 and 10, as often as you have opportunity, do good unto those, amen, who are, let us, as often as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, and especially to those who are brothers and sisters in the faith. You know, in the book of Acts, you know how they witnessed? They lived quiet lives. They minded their own business. They worked with their own hands. And guess what? And you read Acts chapter 5, you'll see that a whole lot of folks admired them because of the way they were living and wanted to become a part of them. Some of them were scared to become a part because you get kicked out the synagogue, but a lot of them admired the way they're... How many people admire your Christianity? How many people come to you and say, you know, you're always talking about that Jesus, and you're different. I read the Bible, and you act a whole lot like him. How can I get to know him? How many people, see, your Bible says if Christ be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. How many people have been drawn to Christ because you lived that lifted up life? How many people have wanted what you have? How many people want a relationship with Jesus like you have? Amen. Brothers and sisters, if all we do is go to church and go home and do whatever we want and just look for Jesus to fix everything, but we go through weeks and years without telling anybody about Christ. Do you know when you stand before Jesus, he's going to want to know how many people you led to him? Amen. How do you think Jesus feel when he see you never go to Bible class, when he don't ever see you? See, Jesus feel like, why don't you want to be one-on-one with me? Why do you always have to be corporate with me? In other words, why you always got to worship and praise me around other people? Why don't you worship me in secret so I can see in secret what you do in secret and reward you openly? Why we don't have no one-on-one relationship? Do you know the Holy Spirit is longing to sit down with you one-on-one, and you crack open that Bible and he start teaching you, helping you to understand, but you never do that. Somehow you have fixed it in your heart and mind that you do not have to do that. You can just trust Jesus. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that means. I just trust Jesus. I don't even know. For what? For what? The Lord need witnesses, especially in these last days. Are the last days. Amen? There is a great falling away that's happening right before us, as it's stated in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Lord has gone ahead of us and plowed up the field. All we have to do is go out and cast some seed. Now, some going to fall on the ground because Jesus said some will. And the devil going to come and steal the word right out of their head. And then some going to fall on shallow earth. And it's going to spring up. I love Jesus. But then as soon as it get hard to live for him, they're going to fall off. And then Jesus said, some of your seed going to fall among the thorns. And what did he mean? He meant that the cares and the deceitfulness of riches are going to choke the word of God. I can't tell you how many Christians will hurry up and skip church to go to a baseball game. The cares of this life choke church right out of them. Choke Bible class right out of them. What about you? You been choked? But Jesus said there will be some that fall on good soil. That's why I throw my seed. I get on Facebook and throw that seed as far as I can. Because some going to hit good soil. And guess what? It's going to produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's how you do it. Jesus said, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. So when you die and it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Will Jesus welcome you? Will Jesus say, hey, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things. Come, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. Will he say that to you? Or will he say, oh, good to see you? And that's it. Will you come home to a triumph because you've led so many people to Christ? Or do you just come in and wait for those who have and stand in line to triumph them? We're ambassadors for Christ, church. If you're not doing that for Jesus, you're not doing anything for him. If you're not leading saved souls to Christ, if you're not leading souls to Christ, to get salvation, you're not doing anything for him. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses, not my ushers, not my choir, not my praise team. You're going to be my witnesses, right? Teach them what I taught you. Didn't he say that over in Matthew? How many people have you taught what Jesus taught you? In Galatians 6:10, he says, let us do good unto all, especially those of the household of faith. Have you been doing good to all, or you just take all your money and go, wait, save it up and go on a trip? Save it up and go buy something. But you don't help nobody. You don't support Gleaners. You don't support Forgotten Heart. That's why we do that at Runner for Christ Ministries. We support those ministries to make sure that the tithes and offerings that come into our church turn around as blessings to the members who gave it. That's why we support Gleaners, Forgotten Harvest, Covenant House, Detroit Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, Bondage Breakers, and First Fruit Living Ministries, and Bring Back the Family. That way the members of Runner for Christ Ministries are blessed. Why? Because their tithes and offerings make us able to support them. And by extension, they are blessed. But see, Runner for Christ Ministries can't help you save souls except that we teach you how to be a soul saver. But you actually have to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Treat Jesus like that thing that you tell people about all the time, that you talk to them about so much that they want to go. They want to see it. They want to hear it. They want to taste it. Talk about Jesus like that. Amen. Amen. brothers and sisters, be an ambassador. We are foreigners in this world because we were translated into God's kingdom. But he left us here to be his ambassadors, to represent him in this foreign land. Can we do that? If we've not been doing it, can we say, Lord, forgive me for not doing it? And we do that. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we do praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, that you have made us witnesses for you. We thank you that you have been so good to us that we can't help telling other people about it. Help us to be just like Paul, to go out and tell everybody how you saved us, why we belong to you, to give our testimony. Let us perfect what Pastor Janice Tate taught us a long time ago with that 1 minute or 3 minute testimony. Because we cannot preach the word Jesus to people who are not even saved, but we can tell them what you did for us and how they can be saved. Help us, Lord, to remember that we are your ambassadors here in this foreign country, that we represent the kingdom of heaven in this land, and in that way, your kingdom will be on earth and work like it does in heaven. Help us to understand what you meant when you said in Genesis for us to subdue it. What you meant was for us to go everywhere we can and turn that into a place for Christ. And if we reach out to people, somebody reached out, Jesus, to Dr. Tony Evans' father. His family wasn't saved. They wasn't going to church. But his father got saved. And his father started living the life in such a way that his wife got saved. And now we have Tony, we have Priscilla, Anthony, we have the whole family. And you have blessed them to be a blessing to us. Father, help us to do that same thing. Help us to lift up Jesus by the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we work at work, by the way we act in the grocery store, by the way we act everywhere we go. And you said, Jesus, I be lifted up. I will draw all men unto me. So let us, Lord, learn to live a lifted up life so that we can actually be ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name, we pray and give you thanks, honor, and glory. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. Amen. Go on and take your break, Pastor. I got it.
Thank you. Thank you, Crystal.
Amen. You're welcome. Amen, y'all. Well, you know, it's only two people in this world that I know that drink black coffee, and that's Pastor Janice Tate and my daddy, okay? But today we all got served up a freshly brewed pot of steaming hot black coffee. Amen. Wow. Pastor O, we thank you as always for just the time that you take to bring us the words that you do. You always got a word in you no matter what. And words like that are hard. Words that challenge us are hard. Words that, you know, make us look within and not point to people and point out their faults and things like that are hard. Words that, you know, are convicting are hard. But God wants the best for us. The Holy Spirit wants the best for us, and he's there within us to help us do the right thing. So, again, we just thank you for the word that you brought to us today. And, you know, I pray that, and we all pray that everybody who heard this word today take it to heart and really allow the Lord to use you to not only transform your life but transform the life of others by being a witness and being an ambassador for Christ. Amen. So good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to each and every one of you. Just by way of announcements, don't forget that our Sunday school happens at 9 a.m. with our teacher, Pastor Janice Tate. Our Sunday worship service would have happened today at 10 a.m. in person, but nevertheless, praise God for Blog Talk Radio, who at the flip of a switch, amen, we can be on here and still give God his worship, and we can still, you know, worship and commune with one another, even though we're all in our respective homes. Amen. So Jesus sees it, and we're all together no matter what. So Sundays, We do have our worship service again at 10 a.m. We're going to have the praise team, hopefully next week, leading us into our worship service. Amen. And so, again, we are located at 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Again, we thank Pastor O for bringing the word to us that he brought to us today. Just by way of a couple of reminders, Monday on Blog Talk Radio, Minister Lachelle Anderson has her show entitled Street Love at 6:30 p.m. So just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on Christian Resources for more info. Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is teaching Training Day on Blog Talk Radio. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., we have our Bible class on Blog Talk Radio. This week, our teacher is Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and the title of the lesson is The Supremacy of Christ. So you do need a book to participate in the class. If you don't have one, please go to our church website, rfcm.org, and order one so you can participate in class. Fridays at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is your host for Bring Back the Family. And then, of course, on Saturdays, we have our Saturday morning worship service on Blog Talk Radio. That begins at 10 a.m. You care about who's preaching, which it really doesn't matter, but you could go to our church website, rfcm.org, and check the website for the preaching schedule. Remember that all of our classes and our services and every single thing that we do here on Blog Talk Radio is recorded, archived, and free. Go to our church website, again, rfcm.org, where you will find jobs, books, resources, and more. Pastor listed every single one of the, I hate to say programs, but, you know, Covenant House and Bondage Breakers and all of the people who we give to. So you can also see that on our church website. Again, it's all available for free. Use it for yourself and make sure to share it with others. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes and offerings online, again, rfcm.org, just click on the tithes and offerings tab. Usually when Pastor O preaches, he does not take up an offering or doesn't want an offering taken up for him. But if you would like to give Pastor O a love offering today, you're more than welcome to go to our church website or to Pastor's website, pastorgmo.com. I think that's what it is, pastorgmo.com. Or just go to our church website, rfcm.org. Amen. If you want to give Pastor O a love offering for the word that he brought to us today. Amen. So when I was listening to Pastor talk, I was like, Lord, he's saying some stuff. And I feel like he's about to get into my announcement. So the Holy Spirit, Saturdays I usually read like a certain set of things. Sundays I kind of skip over some things when I'm reading announcements in person. But this morning, because we got to flip to Blog Talk Radio, I asked the Holy Spirit to give me something different to read that I normally don't read on Saturdays and that I don't normally read on Sundays for the sake of time. So this morning the Holy Spirit led me to Romans chapter 12. And he wants me to read it, and so I'm going to read it for you. Amen. And it's entitled, A Living Sacrifice. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Excuse me. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Amen. So we just want to ask that you continue to pray for everyone everywhere all the time. Again, pray for Keitha Freeman, who had surgery. Please keep her and her family in your prayers. Our favorite president, President Sharon Abraham, please keep her lifted up in prayer. All of our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia, Mother Cheryl, Mother Irma, continue to pray for Deaconess Naomi Carter. I do continue to ask prayers for myself, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman, our pastors, students, parents, children everywhere, all of our government leaders. Also, please pray for all of those who are unsaved, okay, witnesses, ambassadors for Christ, okay. Pray for all those who are unsaved that they may come to know the love of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice made for them to have eternal life with him. Continue to pray that those in the body of Christ be witnesses for the Lord in the way that we live and the way that we show love to one another. Amen. Continue to pray for all those who are bereaved. Continue to pray for Kathy Clyburn and her family, Nico Gaston and her family, as well as family and friends of Mother Irma Miller. Amen. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week, or if they've celebrated any time in this month. Happy birthday to Mother Marilyn Overall, who celebrated her birthday on the 7th, and to Nico Gaston, who will be celebrating her birthday on the 21st. Amen. And so lastly is your devotional, and it's by Pastor Rick Warren. He's the pastor at Saddleback Church, and it's entitled, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you better thoughts, thoughts that bring peace and not frustration. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. You haven't been sentenced to a life of frustration and stress. You don't have to be stuck in your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. God has something far better for you. We all want peace and freedom, and the good news is it may be closer than you think. The Bible teaches that for those who follow Jesus, peace is a mindset. If you're not at peace, it's your choice. In the next few months, the economy more than likely won't change. Your work situation won't change. Your broken relationships may not get healed, but your mindset can change. That will be the difference between a life of self-destruction and a life of peace. Again, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by this is life and peace. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you better thoughts, thoughts that bring peace and not frustration. You need to look at your situation differently, in the Holy Spirit way. Will you look at your life the way you've always looked at it, or will you look at it the way God does? Remember, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Choosing to look at your situation through your own lens is self-destructive. Ask the Holy Spirit to replace the self-destructive thoughts with his own. When you've got something negative in your life, don't resist it. Replace it. If you turn on the TV and there's something on that you don't want to watch or you shouldn't watch, you can't just sit there and tell yourself you shouldn't be watching it. You have to change the channel. You replace it immediately. You choose what you dwell on. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the thoughts you need to focus on. He will do it. He will change your perspective, and that will change your life. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Crystal.
Amen.
You know, I sit and listen to the devotion just like it's a sermon. Because I want to hear it, because I know if the Lord is giving it out, it's going to be a benefit to me, and it's going to be a blessing to me. And so I thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I done about lost my voice. It's on its way out of here.
It's okay.
Thank you, Crystal.
It's all right.
Appreciate,
I
appreciate you. Tell my brother. Amen. Amir, I said, what's up?
I sure will.
Amen. You know that's my boy, right? Yeah,
I know, yes.
Like that.
Yeah,
amen.
Just like you. Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Love you. I'll see you later.
Love you, too.
Okay. All righty. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in. And the Lord was talking to me while Crystal was preaching, teaching, and reading announcements. God needs you to be his face to the world. God wants people to see him. Jesus wants people to see him. But Jesus ain't leaving heaven until his Father tell him to, and or until it's time. And God is a spirit, so you kind of hard to look at him. Somebody once asked me a question, is God black? 90 seconds. And I'm like, a spirit? Over in John 4, it says God is a spirit. And I'm like, so I don't know how that could be black. But anyway, I answered it. Amen. But God needs you to be his face. He needs you to show the world how much he loves them. And you're the only person he can use to do that. And where you are in your house, your personal life, your family life, your civic and church life, he needs you to be his face to the world, to be his voice to the world, to be that act of love to the world. God needs to be displayed. God needs to be advertised. And he wants us to take advantage of that. I'm going to close with this. It's over in John. Now, I want you to hear what Jesus said, and we should make this our mantra. Amen, or mantra. Amen. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to just read one verse, and it's verse 4. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Amen. And that's 17 and 4. It is my goal that when I leave this life, I've done as much as I could possibly do to lead souls to Christ, teach souls in Christ, and to help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. I focus on those three things daily, because sooner or later, I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to be standing in front of Jesus. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. We get to determine what Jesus is going to say to us when we stand before him. Just like in Matthew 25, when that man went on that trip and gave them talents, okay, according to their ability, that man came back, and they had to stand before that man. And that's what he said to them. But to the one, it didn't go so well. He thought Jesus was a hard man. He thought Jesus reap where he haven't sowed. He thought Jesus pluck up where he haven't even planted. You don't want to hear Jesus say, well, since that's the way you feel about me, why didn't you take what I used and at least tell somebody about it? Amen. You want to hear well done. So do well. And when Jesus returns, guess what? You'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. But if you've not been a good and faithful servant, then you won't hear well done. Amen. Don't live this whole life just to hear Jesus say, depart from me. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. The reason I'm leaving you on a note like that is because the Lord wants us to be witnesses. Of all the other things that we beg him about and talk to him about, he don't ever hear us talking to him about leading somebody to Christ. You want to hear that? Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you when we see you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen.
Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life. And only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. This song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. You gave me. Say yeah.